So, on the eve of the joint 2017 Pan American Cups for men and women, live and direct from Lancaster, Pennsylvania in the US, joining us today is Simon Hoskins, the Executive Director of USA Field Hockey. Good morning, Simon.
And good morning to you.
Thank you very much for joining us today. It's obviously a very, very busy time for you and the team there in Lancaster. Could you maybe set the scene a little for us and the day before the games commence, let us know what's going on there.
Yeah, sure. We're just a couple of days out from starting the Pan Am Cup, which is the top teams across the Pan Americas, all descending in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, will ultimately crown on August the 13th, the women's champion, and August the 12th, the men's champion.
So the games are being played in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at probably one of the best sports stadium names in the world, I would think, at Spooky Nook. What can you tell us about the venue? What are the hockey facilities like there? What are the facilities in general for the teams like there?
Yeah, I think this place really is amazing, and I encourage everyone who loves hockey to watch the stream on usafieldhockey.com, which is available worldwide, and you'll see a part of the facility. It's really interesting, actually. We moved here 4.5 years ago, right after the 2012 Olympics, and we have a beautiful wet turf, and we also have a wet turf covered by a dome. It's the only one like it in the world. Oh, wow. So it's a full-size field underneath as well. We're going to use that as the training pitch, and the outside pitch is the competitive pitch. But it's not just that. There's a 700,000-square-foot which is the largest indoor sports arena in North America as part of the facility. And we're effectively the anchor tenant at one end. We have an incredible 4 sets of changing rooms, beautiful video room. The women's national team for USA is based here full-time. They have a beautiful locker room and training room and medical room and kickback room. And we have our offices up here as well. So it's really, we've had many teams in here over the last 4 or 5 years. We're hoping to have Australia actually beginning of next year. And I know all the visiting teams has a huge wow factor for them. It's really developing into be a bit of a hockey mecca.
So the stadium, the main turf pitch in the stadium itself, what are you looking at sort of capacity-wise?
Well, we're at 2,500 right now. We were fortunate enough to be entered into the Hockey Pro League a couple of months ago. And part of the requirements for that is to have a 4,000 minimum capacity. So we're going to be upgrading over these coming months to make sure that we have that. We have a beautiful VIP lounge as well, of course, parking for 4,000 plus. The facility is only three and a bit years old, and it's growing and developing still.
So it sounds truly world class.
Yeah, I think so. And I think speaking to the coaches who travel around the world playing in lots of facilities, they recognize that this is really developing into be one of the top hockey venues. There's also a hotel on site, and I think five of the 15 teams competing in the Pan Am Cup are staying on that hotel. It's filled out, of course. And so they can just walk out of their rooms down to the field and have a beautiful high performance environment for them and head back to the hotel at the end. There's a full service restaurant, of course, as well. We even have an indoor hockey center with 8 full-size indoor courts, which is an important part of North American hockey as well. So there's really everything a hockey fan could want here.
I think you're making a lot of hockey people around the world sound very jealous.
Why Lancaster, Simon? Is that the hub of hockey in the U.S., or is it central to where people play the game?
Yeah, it's a great question. And Lancaster, Pennsylvania, so just to the west of New York, and truthfully, it's just closer to Philadelphia as the main big city, and it's about an hour and a half west of Philadelphia. The reason that we're here is that Pennsylvania really is the hotbed of hockey in the U.S., and the story goes like this. It's after the women's national team, the USA team, did not perform well, in fact, at the Wooden Spoon in the London 2012 Olympics. We were then based across the other side of the country in Chula Vista, in the south of California. And our reviews indicated that it was much more important for the athletes and for the junior and for the infrastructure to be based in the hub of hockey. And just over the last century, it's really developed in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Maryland, the real hotbeds of hockey. And we were looking for a new home, and we were fortunate that our ambition aligned with the owner of this incredible place. It used to be a big carpet factory. And Sam Byler, who is the single owner, and he used to own Auntie Anne's Pretzels, which is a huge franchise in America. He's from this area, and he had a vision of making this just a great youth sports facility. And he was delighted to have the opportunity to have an Olympic group with him. So we were able to build and customize from the ground up this whole place, which was really an incredible opportunity.
So just on to the tournament itself, or the twin tournaments, what are your expectations on who will come along to watch? Is it something that you're going to attract people from all over the states to come and see?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have people who will be flying in, and we're obviously attracting the daily folks who can visit locally. I mean, there's tens of millions of people within a couple of hours of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. So we're anticipating some pretty good crowds. We're also streaming through our service, and it's live on television around Pennsylvania through cable. And it's going to be live in Argentina and live in Chile as well.
Yeah, that's great.
Will you be able to get that stream in Australia, do you know, Simon? Because we have a nasty reputation in this country of getting geo-blocked from anything we want to watch.
Yeah, no, my understanding is that you can. It's on www.usafieldhockey.com, and the stream will be there every day, of course. We're alternating men's and women's game days, so it's a continual from the 4th through to the 13th.
Now, I understand this is the first major hockey tournament in the States since the Atlanta Games. What can this do for hockey for you?
Yeah, it's a great question, and hosting in the Pan Am Cup, which comes every 4 years, is a pretty good opportunity for us to expose hockey in this area. Even more so, it's for men's hockey because, atypically in the U.S., we're really a female-dominated sport. 99% of our playing members are female. And so to have male hockey and to see the Fielke families, then to be able to see what elite men's hockey looks like, is a really great opportunity for us, and we hope to inspire a whole new generation of guys to play. And this comes on the back of the announcement this week that the U.S. will be hosting the upcoming Olympics in 2028 in Los Angeles, and that really gives us an 11-year run-in to really change the dynamic of hockey in the U.S. so that boys are really attracted to the sport with a dream of playing in a home Olympics 11 years from now.
We were going to ask you about the men's program at one stage because the women have been very successful. But before we go there, you mentioned earlier the dates for the tournament, and you said the women's final will be played on the 13th and the men's on the 12th. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. We're alternating men and women throughout.
Usually in a tournament, it's the men who finish the tournament off. And I was going to say, is that a conscious decision by you guys to have the women go last for a change?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for us, the women's is far more dominant in terms of playing participation, spectatorship, and, of course, international performance. So it was a no-brainer for us. We didn't even think about it. We'll have the women to finish off the whole event.
Oh, excellent.
Now, good events need good volunteers. So whereabouts have yours come from, and in what ways are they getting involved?
Yeah, we have an army of volunteers, of course. In the several hundreds who are participating in many different ways, and that's from volunteering as ball chasers, so they'll have these incredible experiences to be on the field, to working in the changing rooms, to greeting folks, to a number of other tasks behind the scenes as well. And a number of them come from the field hockey community, of course, and it's great for them to give back to the sport, to put on a great field hockey spectacle for other people. So we're hugely grateful for all their support, and I'm sure they'll have a great time.
So what kind of events have you got planned around the tournament itself for the fans, whether it be, signing sessions, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we recognize that we need to be, and field hockey generally needs to be ever more positioned. And, of course, the upcoming Hockey Pro League is just a great opportunity for us all to change the dynamic around hockey. But other sports, cricket and rugby and many other American and Australian sports, have really embraced spectatorship and engagement with fans. Hockey hasn't done as good a job in that, and the Hockey Pro League is designed to be that television ready. And the Pan Am Cup and the other international series we have here, we make sure that we are changing that dynamic and making the games more entertaining, and that the athletes get involved and engage with the crowd after they finish playing.
Do you have a problem getting cut through, given the nature of the American sports market? I mean, obviously you've got NFL and basketball, and then there's ice hockey and baseball and other sports underneath that. Is hockey still struggling to get some sort of recognition?
Yeah, it's a challenge for sure. And, geez, it's hockey and 50 other sports in America, of course. It's a sport-loving country, and we're so fortunate for that. But that comes with it being a very crowded marketplace. And while on one hand people are used to having their kids play many different types of organized sports, the typical Olympic sports and many other new sports, and they're so used to watching television on sport, it's available every day in many different varieties depending on the season. So getting hockey mainstream is challenging for sure. Now, the change in the media over recent years, of course, allows us to stream and be on other channels. But you're right, getting cut through is that's one of the big challenges in front of us, and it's a challenge we want to embrace and make sure that we spread the great experience and great values that hockey has to ever more people.
Would you say the college system is still the backbone of hockey?
Yeah, you're right. And it's a really unusual system, but it's a great one, I can tell you. The NCAA, which operates the collegiate sports in the U.S., is a huge sports provider. There's many American football stadiums with more than 100,000 capacity. That leads to a lot of folks wanting to have their sons and daughters play collegiate sports, which leads to a lot of youth sports recruiting programs. And we're, USA Field Hockey is a big operator of recruiting programs. And that is actually the financial backbone of our organization that allows us to generate resources, which we then invest into our national teams and sports participation.
So it's not like in a lot of countries, you don't rely heavily on government funding.
No, we're not unique, but that's exactly true. And I know it's almost the reverse of the Australian hockey system. But less than 5% of our funding is from the United States Olympic Committee, and that's a private company as well. That does not receive any monies from the government. That's all self-generated revenues from TV, from sponsors, and from donors. So we effectively get zero government support, which does in some ways put us at a disadvantage. We're competing at a very high level, of course, against a number of countries, including Australia and Great Britain and others, who have pretty sizable government grants, annual grants or quad-based grants. So we have to work really hard to make sure that we have enough resources that we can attract the right coaches, give the right training environments for the athletes, pay for taking athletes around the world to compete in various tournaments. So we're really a non-profit, but with a private sector mentality.
I think that's a really interesting dynamic, Simon. I think sometimes in this country that perhaps we're a bit used to sucking on the government teat at times, and there needs to be a bit more energy and enthusiasm and urgency about some of the administrators getting a kick on, where it seems like you guys, because you have to do it yourselves, you have that enthusiasm and energy for it.
Yeah, no, and it's well said, and it makes us entrepreneurial and
yeah.
We're a $10 million group, and most of that comes from youth sports events. We have some events with more than 200 teams playing on 30 fields at one venue.
Wow.
Showcasing, we have a big indoor program with 600 different teams playing on 8 courts over a series of weekends. And they generate the great experiences for the athletes, and they also generate these extra resources. But I would say this, is that in hockey generally is incredible participation sport, has been this last century, but has not been a great spectator sport. And the Pan Am Cup is an example of that. And that is why the top countries have collaborated to create the Hockey Pro League starting in 2019 with a vision to really achieve what really rugby and some other sports have done over the last 25 years, to really make it an attractive television and spectator sport as well, with a vision, and that will generate the resources so that athletes can be full-time professionals and that we can spread hockey in a much, much greater way to the mass market.
It sounds good. You know, we've spoken about the Hockey Pro League on the show before, and there's some reservations with regard to travel and other bits and pieces with it, but you're selling it to me harder and harder. And, I think to have that vision there for it, Simon, sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, just before we let you go, we know you've got some other things to take care of. Do you have any predictions for the upcoming tournament?
Well, of course, we'd love for the USA teams to do well. They work so hard to be part of it. But I also recognize that so many other countries across the Pan Am, there's 15 teams here. This is their great chance to shine, and they've worked so hard to get here and to get selected onto. Of course, Argentina, the Olympic champions, kick off against our men in the first evening game of the tournament. So that's an incredible challenge for our men. They're up for it. But Argentina will be really tough to beat on the men's side, of course. And on the women's side, it's been an Argentina-USA final, and Argentina have won them all since the history of the tournament began. Wow. So we'll be looking to turn that one around.
So I would hope with 2,500-plus fans cheering you on, hopefully you don't let the Argentinians buy any tickets, that they might be able to spur the girls on to glory then.
Yeah, I'd say it's going to be a great tournament either way, and just a great example of hockey at its finest.
Oh, those Argentinian supporters are good to have in the crowd, though, aren't they?
Ah, yeah, they know. See, they know how to cheer on a team, and geez, if you've seen any team play in Argentina, of course, the crowds go wild for the women's team and also for the men's team as Olympic champions now. So, yeah, we'd love to have them cheer on. It gives a great atmosphere as well.
Well, Simon, thank you very much for your time today. Best of luck with the tournament. I'm sure it's going to be a great success, and love to hear your enthusiasm for the game, and for the Pan American Championships that are on this week.
Well, thank you, and thanks for all that you do in promoting hockey as well.
Thank you, Simon.